quest for power is the primary driving force of history. Always has been, always will be. People lust for power, and people fear power. Join us on Wednesday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. for a continuation of Armand DeMille's deep exploration of power. That's this Wednesday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. right here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Joy of resistance. We're sisters of the joy of resistance.
This Wednesday, October 15th at 9 to 11 p.m., Joy of Resistance will offer listeners, as a thank you for supporting WBAI, a premium that sold out the last time we offered it. It's Jennifer Lee's recently released Feminist Stories from Women's Liberation. Described as, quote, terrifically entertaining as well as informative by Psychology Today, it's won several film awards and recently delighted the audience at the Feminist Film Festival. It's nothing short of the story of the movement that changed the world for women, the Women's Liberation Movement, 1963-70. If you want to understand the ground you're standing on, this is the film to own, and for an amazingly low contribution amount. So tune in Wednesday, October 15th, 9 to 11 p.m. We'll play clips, talk to the director, and you'll learn a lot that you didn't know before.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding a special meeting on Sunday, November 2nd, starting at 2 p.m. at the Wall Street Atrium at 60 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan. This is a CAB town hall meeting designed to have as many people as possible come and voice their opinions and concerns regarding the current state of WBAI and Pacifica Radio. Again, there will be a special town hall meeting for the WBAI community held on Sunday, November 2nd at the Wall Street Atrium at 60 Wall Street in Lower Manhattan. All are invited and welcome to come.
Listeners, listen up. The Community Advisory Board, or the CAB, is a group of listeners who meet every Sunday to help WBAI. Our station needs actual work done, hands and bodies, at the WBAI office in Brooklyn, New York. Now is the time to move from listening to action. Come and do some work. We need to pack and mail premiums, call listeners to solve premium problems, complete inventorying, and send out BAI buddy packs. Commit to 12 hours a week or whatever you can. You can show up from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. WBAI's heart and soul is the listener. So bring your body, heart, and soul to 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. For more information, you can send an email to volunteer at WBAI.org.
Coming this Friday, October 17th, week 4 of the 5-week Feminist Film Festival. It's an evening of transgressive, militant, direct action feminist films, performance, and discussion. We'll show Lizzie Borden's cult classic, Born in Flames. It's set in a futuristic New York City where a socialist revolution has left women out and a women's army has formed, led by black women, to put women back in, featuring legendary Flo Kennedy. We'll see Left on Pearl, a documentary about the actual takeover and occupation of a building near Harvard by women's liberationists in the 1970s, plus music, photography, and discussion. It's all at 388 Atlantic Avenue, where doors open at 6 for shorts and features are at 7:30. You can find out the full schedule at WBAI.org. Oh, we'll also have popcorn.
WBAI is a niet-commerciële zender, gesponsored.
Yeah, all of that. We didn't get a chance to get into the studio until a minute ago. So this is October the 15th, 2014, Wednesday, and it's 8:07 p.m., and this is a special edition of the Personal Computer Show. 2 hours. I'm going to get Joe on the phone in a minute. So for now, go ahead, Hank.
Thank you, Stevie. Welcome, welcome. Hello, world. This is Hank Key. I'm in the studio of WBAI at CCNY, and we're going to be hooking up with a number of people during the course of the 2 hours. Tonight, we are on a special, and welcome to the regular off-the-hook listeners. Last week, they were in our spot, and this week, we're in their spot, and with this two-hour spot, we're doing specials. And before we go on, I just want to tell everyone that we do have regular programming that we have set up. And we have a special message from David Perry. He happens to be at the ICANN conference right now in L.A. And he's appearing on a panel today at the ICANN conference. By the way, ICANN stands for the Internet Corporation for Sign, Names, and Numbers. In other words, if you want WBAI.org, they're the ones that, you know, are really responsible for managing it. And David is attending a conference. It's called the ICANN conference, but in addition to ICANN, the National Cybersecurity Alliance is there, the Anti-Phishing Working Group is there, and the Organization of American States is there. And this is the very first time that governments have come together to codify language and reporting standards for cybercrime. And, you know, to report on crime, you have to have some way of defining what are we talking about, because everyone has a different way of interpreting it. So at least we have a start on this. And he reminded me that back in the early days, they had something very similar to that, where a number of international conferences were set up in the 19th century to combat the spread of cholera. And he likens cybercrime now to virtual cholera of our day.
Well, Hank, you were around in those days. What was it really like?
I didn't survive.
Oh.
Hey, Joe, welcome to the Personal Computer Show, and I'm glad you're able to join me for the first part of this segment here. And I know that you've gotten a number of letters and phone calls about gold card support.
Well, it's very strange because I hadn't heard about gold card for a long time, and then this week I got two separate letters from two former gold card holders who were really upset that we weren't offering it anymore. They thought it was really one of the best premiums we'd ever offered. For those of in the audience who don't remember the gold card, it was a tech support membership where we didn't guarantee, but we told them we would do our very, very best to respond to their tech support queries within 24 hours. And if we didn't have answers, we would reach out to our friends in the industry to get them answers. And we offered that for a good many years. Back when Valerie Van Isler was the general manager, she had suggested to me that we come up with something like that. So, Hank, how many years ago was that with Valerie?
That was back in the year 2000.
So it was a good time ago. At any rate, we had eventually built up so many gold card members that it just wasn't practical for us as volunteers to support that many people on a 24-hour basis. And we phased out the premium, and we no longer offer it. But I would like to tell the people in the audience that if they join and if they keep us on the air by becoming members of BAI, maybe buddies or some other thing, we will still try to give them the support that they ask for. It's just that we won't guarantee them it's a turnaround thing. It might take us a few days, a few weeks, or even a few months, but we'll eventually get them the answers they need.
Joe, I'm going to interrupt you because you use the word buddy. What do you mean by buddy?
Well, somebody came up with this really cool way of supporting the Personal Computer Show and supporting the station, WBAI, and they call it the buddy system, where you come in and you pledge by giving them a bank number or a credit card number or a debit card or something, that you pledge you will give $5 a month every month of the year.
No, $10, I think, is a start, okay?
Or 10, or okay. 20, or 50, or 1,000.
Well, let's put it this way. You give up smoking once, one pack a month?
Yeah, something like that. I was down at Duane Reade the other day, and they were charging over $12 for a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, you haven't smoked in a long time.
I gave up smoking back in 1980-something or other, and I got to tell you, for me, it's real sticker shock.
Well, for me, it's sticker shock because I gave up smoking in 1956, and at that time, it was 17 cents a pack.
I was going to say, Hank, that when I started smoking, a carton cost what a pack costs now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, let me just say that we do have premiums, but the buddy system is the one that we would like to have everyone participate because that's really a show of love. You know that you listen to the Personal Computer Show. We've been on for over 30 years, and we give valuable advice, and that itself is love for the station, love for the Personal Computer Show, and you know that you'll get a lot in return for it.
And what you're giving to the station is really the same amount of money that we would have asked for in the first place, but because you're pledging it in advance, the people who are running the station have a better idea of how they can budget. They have a better idea of what kind of money they can spend next month because they know that your money will be coming in to them automatically. And maybe we can get rid of some of these really horrendous on-the-air fund drives and membership drives that seem to take up 50 or 60% of our time.
Well, I hope so. Joe, you know, I just want to tell everyone that at about the 7th, I'm sorry, but we have people around the world, at the 15-minute mark, Alfred Poor, Dr. Alfred Poor, will be joining us.
And I'll be leaving you.
And we're going to be talking about something that is quite a subject, and that is STEM. That is those who study in the science, technology, engineering, and math field. Where do they get work? Can they get work? And we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about that because that's one of Alfred's specialty.
It is. But you know, Hank, it's also the specialty of some other people that I know. And preparatory to the show, I asked a few questions. And it turns out that people are not terribly, people, when I say corporations in this country, are not really going hungry for STEM students. They're going hungry for people with specific industrial experience and specific software packages. And it's really a shame that everybody thinks that all you need to do is to get a STEM degree in college and you're automatically fixed for life, and you're not. And Alfred will talk with you about mm-hmm. that more. He's got the practical experience in that area. But, well, I'd like to, because I'm only going to be on for a little while tonight, Hank, I'd like to mention something else that a lot of people have asked me about, and unfortunately I had to give them the same answer I gave them on the gold card. Mm-hmm. It's just not available. And that was, you had put together a very special package of Linux. You had put
Linux
together
distros.
Three or four different distributions on a single DVD.
No, not on a single. It was on four separate discs. Four separate discs.
And people didn't have to do anything to customize it. You had pre-customized
ready to
it.
Run. And what made these so special is that they were ready to run Windows applications.
And now they're asking me about it, and they didn't see it on the list. And I said, well, you're not offering it because it's not up to date enough.
Well, let me just go over it briefly, is that the Bash, which I will go over, the Bash or the Shell Shock virus, or the vulnerability, okay? They came up with two fixes, three fixes, four fixes. As of last week, they're still coming up with fixes. And as you know, with fixes, they have to then modify the package and release it. And they have, but before they release it, at least these distros go through, for most of them, they go through a complete retesting. In other words, just because you make one change, you don't just test that one change. You test the whole thing. It's like, Joe, as you're familiar with medication, just because they give you one drug to take care of something, it may have side effects that or cause effects with previous drugs you have.
Don't get me started.
No, I won't. So what it is that I just felt that in the best interest, Joe said, why didn't you make, you know, you could give the patches to people. I said, no. Because the reason why these four distros were so popular, and it really was popular, was because it was ready to run. I didn't have to teach you how to get patches, how to download it.
What do you think the folks who are interested should do? Should they can't get them from you. Should they wait until you offer them again and not join the station?
You know what? The people who want it, they'll wait. Okay, because, you know, there's no sense saying, here's something that's 99%, but it's not 100%.
I'll tell you what, those people who would have gotten the Linux distros, and I think you were asking $50 or $60.
No, we were asking $50 for four distro discs.
Okay, we'll be offering those again sometime in the future.
And, you know, we're fundraising through the end of October, and if it becomes official that I can get a couple of them out, I will announce it, and we'll put it on the list. Did we? Yes, I guess we had some telephony problem. Let me just say that we have three personal computer show premiums that I do want to talk about. One is called the Windows XP Support DVD. It's a $50 donation or premium donation, and it is the it's all the service packs you need, along with a description of what is needed if you have what version. But it also includes the unofficial, and I use the word unofficial because everyone kind of blessed it. Even Microsoft, in a way, blessed it, but they didn't say they're going to release it. Service Pack 4. And Service Pack 4 is everything that was Windows updates to after Service Pack 3 through the end of August. So that's a lot of updates. It's a network version, which means you don't have to be on a network. Network version means it has all the patches, whether you need it or not. And it's about 900 megabytes. That's huge. Okay?
How long would that take to download on a normal DSL line?
Well, it's because it's not the, a Microsoft line. It took a long time because only a few places without the so-called corporate capacity of a Microsoft. It took me a long time to do it, and then I had to verify it. And in addition to this, I've added another file to it. It's called How to Continue XP Support. Now, XP is support is continuing for embedded devices, but basically the patches for it is identical if a regular Windows XP professional.
Well, I want to point out that Microsoft has issued an official statement that is not true.
Well, you know what? It's working.
But we know that Hank has actually done it, so it is true.
Yeah. So I call this the Windows XP support, and the DVD with that unofficial SP4 and the registry change to continue with XP support is a $50 donation. And by the way, Joe, I decided that I added a little bonus to that DVD. The bonus was apparently a number of people had either heard about or did listen to the Linux broadcast we did over the summer. And they want to know where can they get it, where can they find it. And I talked about some of the, what was available was a description of all the different Linux packages, what they mean, what they do, and so on. Like, what is Bash, okay, you know, things like that. So, you know what, I added as a bonus to the XP support.
Okay, well, now, since you mentioned that two-hour Linux show, it brings to mind something else I wanted to comment on, Hank. We got at least three pieces of mail of people who are upset with that podcast because they claim they only heard the first half of the podcast. And so I bounced that over to Michael, our webmaster, who's also in charge of podcasts, and he said, the podcasts are, and everybody who's listening now should hear me, the podcast is only set up for a one-hour podcast. He can't change that every week to the different types of shows. So what will happen if you want to download the podcast? You'll download the first hour. But if you want the second hour, it's there in the archives. If you go to pcradioshow.org and you go to the archives section and you go to the date of the show, you'll find the second hour there, both for this one and for the previous two-hour show, which was the Linux show.
Good. Now, I have another disc called the Windows 7 Support DVD. Also, the asking donation is $50. And what is interesting about this is I have the service packs, the PC virtualizations for both the 64-bit or 32-bit operating system, and two things that one thing you're not going to find anymore from Microsoft. They pulled off XPM. XPM is the XP mode of running Windows XP under Windows 7 because they said they were they're discontinuing all support of XP, at least for the general public. They took XPM off. You can't find it anymore. So that is under the Windows 7 support.
When you say they took it off, you mean if I go over to the Microsoft site and put in a query for XPM, I won't get anything back?
Nope, it's gone. Now, also on the XP, on the Windows 7 support, I added the retro support, which means what are the things you need to make Windows 8.1 run like Windows 7. So I call that retro support. And so that's the Windows 7 support disc. It's a DVD, requested donations, $50. And if you get that, I also included the Linux bonus on it, even though we didn't list it, okay? It's on it. And then finally, we have a two-for-one. A two-for-one is I squeezed those two DVDs into one DVD very tightly, and it's a $75 requested donation. So if you want the XP support and 7 support, it's called 2-for-1 for $75.
So instead of spending $100 by buying both discs, Hank has provided you a way of getting them on one disc for right. $75. You're saving $25 or 25% or however you want to phrase it.
Okay. Now, as promised, I said we're going to get Dr. Alfred Poor on 15 minutes after. And, Alfred, you're on the air, right?
I am indeed.
Okay. Well,
calling from the skybox high atop downtown Perkasie.
Okay.
There we are. You haven't heard that phrase since I used it years ago.
Yep.
And I now have to leave the skybox. I see my Frankfurter man is down there waving the hot dog bun at me, and I am on my way. I thank you all. Listen, Alfred and Stevie and Hank, thanks for your efforts on this. Thanks for everything. And I do want to thank the audience in advance, because I know they're all going to reach deep into their pockets to help support the Personal Computer Show. I'll see you all next year.
Well, maybe sooner than that, okay?
Maybe sooner. Good night.
Okay. Listen, Alfred,
yeah.
We were on the air 2 weeks ago, and...
You saved this for me to get back on the air,
yeah,
didn't you?
And you know what? People were stopping me on the street. They stopped me in the church. Believe it or not, we had people in the church stop me and say... And I you know what surprised me? How many people would listen to it? Okay?
This is what happens when you talk without notes in front of you. When it came up in conversation, I just answered off
nah.
the top of my head.
Hey,
and
Alfred,
I got the details wrong.
Why don't we take advantage of something and just say, we did it on purpose to see how many people were listening?
No, I can't do that. So basically, to recap the mm-hmm. situation, we were talking about tablets, and I don't remember exactly what the context was, but I said there's this really cool tablet you can get that's not really very expensive, and the great thing about it is it comes with a free lifetime data plan with 4G data access. Now, that part was right.
Yes.
I get some of the details wrong after that. Detail number one that I got wrong is that I said it was a data plan with AT&T. It's not. It's with T-Mobile. So, not a big deal, but it's a detail that we should correct. The other one is, I said it had you got 2 gigabytes of monthly data use, and that was wrong. It's only 200 megabytes.
But that's still a good deal, though.
If you're not watching, if you're not watching a movie every night, you're not gonna. It's not a big deal. If you're just checking your email, and what we're gonna use it for is my wife sells pottery. She makes pottery and sells it at craft shows, and so we use. One of those credit card swipers. And so we plan to get one of these, instead of using a little smartphone, we're going to use one of these larger tablets and use that to take credit card charges for purchases of our pottery in the pottery booth. Here's the whole chapter and verse on this, and hopefully I get this straight and people will forgive me for getting the details wrong. But we're talking about the Trio AXS 4G. It's a 7.85-inch tablet. It's available, as far as I know, only through Walmart. It has 16 gigabytes of memory. It's an Android tablet. It costs $149, and with that $149, you get lifetime free 4G data service up to 200 megabytes a month, and it's got Wi-Fi support, obviously, so when you're within range of Wi-Fi, if you duck into your McDonald's or Starbucks, you're not using the 4G, so you can watch movies all day long at McDonald's, and it's not going to count against your 200 megabytes.
And Alfred, for full disclosure, you did not get paid to say that.
Absolutely not. No.
No, actually, what we do at the Personal Computer Show is that...
And the price is about $149.
Yeah. You know, with the Personal Computer Show, if we see a good deal, we'll tell you about it. If we see something that's bad, we'll also tell you about that, too. That's the beauty of the Personal Computer Show. And
we don't owe nothing to anybody but the listeners.
Oh, yes. And we've had corporations, we've had companies get back to us to be very critical, to say, that's not nice to say. And we would say, come on the air. No one has done that. I remember back in 1993, actually 1992, back in December of 92, I criticized a corporation for developing an operating system with 1,800 employees in 3 continents, and I said, you got to be crazy to do that. He tried to get me fired where I was working, and I told him, come on here. Guess what? In January, he got fired.
Yep.
And if you can't guess the company, then you haven't been around long enough.
Well, I have, in my day, I have gotten more than a few C-level executives upset with me. So
yeah.
I remember when... what was his name? That Now I'm blanking on his name, but the guy.
What company?
Well, they ended up buying DBase, but before that, he did the programming languages.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about now.
Played the saxophone, put out the saxophone CDs.
Yes.
Well, anyway, he had a photo shoot with Time Magazine that he walked out of to come over to talk to Bill McCrone at PC Magazine to argue with him about something that I was doing. Philippe Kahn.
Philippe Kahn, that's it. Okay.
Philippe Kahn. We were doing a database project, and they didn't like the way I was interpreting our instructions at PC Labs. And so he walked out of a Time Magazine photo shoot to come over and discuss it with Bill McCrone.
I have to tell you, I'm deviating somewhat, but I know that with Bill Gates of Microsoft, I met with him a number of times, and I was, and at times you cannot help but be very critical of the Microsoft products. And he's one of the few people, he's not defensive, he won't argue with you. He always has in his vest pocket these 3x5 index cards, and he takes them out and makes notes of it.
Yeah.
And he gets back to you. He says it's fixed.
Yeah.
Now that is a pun who's listening.
Yeah. And you know what Bill Gates and I have in common?
What's that?
He and I are members of a very elite group.
Oh, you play the mandolin?
No. I play the mandolin. I don't think he does.
Okay.
No. We were both keynote speakers at the Trenton Computer Festival.
Oh yes, yes. Yes.
So
we'll talk about that later. Now, Alfred, I know that one of the to me it's a hot topic because back in late August, September, the Census Bureau, not the Department of Labor, the Census Bureau released a big major report about people who major in STEM, college
science,
graduates and so on. Yeah,
engineering and math.
And on the one hand, the president says we need more people going into the STEM study. And on the other hand, you look at the numbers, and they're not finding work. Where's the real truth?
Well, okay. The story about the blind man and the elephant?
Yes.
It's an old Indian.
Tell us.
East India. Asian India.
Yeah, Alfred.
Story.
You know what? For guys like you and me, we've heard it, but we may have people who are younger.
So the story is that these six wise blind men, who everybody revered because they were so smart, they encountered an elephant for the first time, and they were feeling their way around. And one guy came up against the side of the elephant and felt around a bit, and he said, "Oh my God, an elephant is like a wall. It's solid and it doesn't move." Meanwhile, one of his buddies had run into one of the legs, and he was feeling it, and he said, "Oh, this is no, an elephant's like a tree." And meanwhile, somebody else, another one, had grabbed the elephant by the tail and said, "No, you're both wrong. The elephant is like a rope." And another one grabbed the trunk and said it was like a snake. Another one said it was like grabbed the tusk and said it was like a spear. And the other one grabbed the ear and said it was like a giant leaf or something like that. But the point is, none of them were wrong. They were all right, but none of them had the whole picture. So one of the problems you have when we start talking about
STEM study.
Well, just not STEM studies, but anything that having to do with employment.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick your numbers. I can pick my numbers. We can pretty much make anything we want to happen. But so part of the problem here is that I don't dispute that there are probably STEM jobs going. There's a lot of STEM graduates who aren't working in STEM jobs. However, that's not a bad thing. There are lots of guys with law degrees who aren't practicing law. There are lots of doctors who aren't practicing medicine.
There's a lot of doctors I wish were not practicing medicine.
That's a whole different story. But the fact is, what was my major in college?
What was it?
What do you think?
I know what mine was.
Well, take a guess. You know my career history. What do you think my major was?
Philosophy.
No, I was a biology major.
Biology major.
Yeah.
And what do you think mine was?
And so what I've done since then has nothing and everything to do with biology.
Okay.
Okay. The point is, I haven't had a job that had anything to do with biology since then. Well, briefly, I was a science teacher, but I taught some biology, but I also taught physical science and other things. The fact of it is that it was the skills that I learned scientific method analysis, being able to write coherently about technical topics. Those are the skills that I've brought forward throughout my career.
In your days and my days, going to college was opening your horizon and learning to learn.
And it still is.
But they are not treating it that way. Now it's you go to college to get a job.
That's what the students are saying. That's what the parents are saying.
That's what the colleges are pushing.
No, the colleges are just playing along with that. But if the colleges really were serious about that, they would be getting them jobs. But they're not. They're still teaching the same academics. They're still teaching the same content for the degree. They are not. In fact, all the academics I talk to say, oh, no, we're not going to become a vocational school.
They teach you how to work for other people.
Well, they don't teach you how to work. This is one of the huge problems. We're getting a little bit off the STEM subject, but this is something that I speak to high school and college and corporate audiences about all the time. And there's this huge disconnect between our students' expectations about working and what they actually encounter and also how they're prepared for the world of work. For example, do you know what the number one reason is that entry-level workers lose their jobs these days? What do you think?
They don't know how to communicate.
Worse than that.
They don't know how to write?
Worse than that.
They can't read?
They don't show up.
Wow,
attendance
really?
Attendance issues is the number one reason why entry-level workers get fired. Now, let me ask you this. At all the colleges that you know, okay, how many of them take attendance in lectures?
None.
How many of them even care if you show up late or don't show up at all?
The only thing they care about is, did you pay your tuition, room, and board?
Did you take the test? Did you pay your bill? And did you hand in the assignments? So the one thing that these kids need to know in order to keep a job is the one thing that the colleges ignore the most.
But if you don't keep a job because you don't show up for work, then you're not supposed to have that job.
Well, that's easy to say. But the fact of the matter is that these young people, and I can go on for a long time about this, but the fact of the matter is these young people have very unrealistic expectations about the world of work.
That's not new.
More unrealistic than it was for students who graduated 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I started, a long time ago, I went for a job interview. Most of these kids I talked to just getting out of school, they're interviewing the company. That's the other way around. You're not interviewing the company. They are interviewing you.
Yeah. There's a very self-centered focus. I mean, young people have always been self-centered, but again, this is at a level that has never been seen before, and I believe the root causes are very different than what caused that in the past. And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the problems is, one of the questions I get all the time, and you'll see it in the media all the time, and this brings it back to STEM. A lot of people say, you know, I'm going to get a college degree. What major should I take in order to get the best job coming out the other side? You know, how do I make the most money? And that is...
That's ludicrous if you don't have
the aptitude. Wrong question to be asked. I mean, just asking that question is totally off kilter. The answer to that question is very simple. If you want to get the most money, become a petroleum engineer. You'll start at $100,000 to $150,000 a year.
Alfred, I'm going to just take a quick break and just say that this is WBAI-FM, 99.5 New York, and we will continue with a STEM discussion. And go ahead, Alfred.
So if you want to get a great job as a petroleum engineer, and, you know, with a big pay, then study to be a petroleum engineer. And if you land a job, you'll get it for $100,000, $150,000. The problem is, first of all, we don't need thousands and thousands of petroleum engineers. There's just not that many openings. We see this now with a lot of people who said, well, I'm not going to settle for just a bachelor's degree. I'm really interested in teaching at the college level, and I'm going to go on. The job market's not so good, so I'll get my master's. Well, I might as well roll into and get my PhD, and so now I can teach at colleges. Well, the fact is we have way more PhDs looking to teach then we have need for them. And the fact is also that colleges are treating their teachers, their professors, awfully. Most of them are not offered tenure at all. Most of them are given temporary assignments, and it takes two or three jobs at two or three different universities in order to piece together a full-time position. So they become itinerant professors driving around, and they're working for wages not much different than an elementary school teacher. So, that's a real problem. So, but part of that is possible because there's this glut of people who are more people are looking for that
kind of
work.
Alfred, let me just go over some key points from the Census Bureau report, okay?
Yep.
And hopefully you can address it, all right?
Well, let me make one more point about the unemployment first. Okay. And that is this. 2013, the economy still was pretty bad last year, right?
It still is.
It's getting better. It's getting a lot better.
It still is. Do you know that 73% of all new jobs this year are all part-time jobs?
That's a number. It may be true. I hadn't heard that, but that's okay. Let me give you this one. The average adult unemployment last year, and this is 16 to 65, I guess,
mm-hmm.
for all adults, it averaged about 7.6%. Do you know what? So for young people, and for these numbers, I believe it was between the ages of 24 and 32. So in other words, you've graduated from college, you've been out for a little while, if you've gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
So for that young sort of getting started kind of age group, 24 to 32. The unemployment rate for those people with only a high school degree.
Oh.
All right, 7.6 for across the board on average.
Mm-hmm.
For high school diploma only, the unemployment rate was, I believe it was like 12.6%.
Too high.
Not quite double.
Mm-hmm.
But very high. The unemployment rate for those in that 24 to 32 age group who had a four-year college degree.
Four-year equivalent, because many are taking more than four years to do it.
Well, they take more than 4 years to do it, but with a four-year degree,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a two-year associate's degree. Those with a bachelor's degree,
mm-hmm.
you know what, or better, you know what the unemployment rate was? 3.8%, exactly half of the national average.
Right.
So, are there unemployed college graduates? Absolutely. Is it difficult for them to find work? Of course. And that's a shame.
Well,
but the odds are
that
twice as good that they're going to have a job than
if you can get it.
If
you can
get average, and it's almost four times better than if they only had the high school degree.
Okay. Now let me go through some statistics, and you can always go to the Census Bureau to get more information on it. They say that the average salary for someone in a computer-related occupation, if you're male, the average salary is $91,000.
Okay.
If you're female, the average is $79,000. That disparity is greater than the national average for all jobs combined.
It's unconscionable. There's right now on the social media channels, there is so much talk about the...
In other words, this disparity in STEM... between male and females is actually greater than the national
greater
average.
Greater than average, yeah. No, Silicon Valley is notorious for its sexist behavior.
Okay. Then the other thing is that those who study in the STEM field, only 49% find work. In other words,
okay,
I'm sorry, 26% find work in the STEM field.
In the STEM field,
and,
okay.
And if you happen to be an engineer, only half the people find work in engineering.
And again, that is such a misleading statistic. Again, I don't work in biology. What was your major?
Oh, I had an easy major, math.
Well, so you ended up doing something that was closely related to
Yeah, but
to
you got
to
remember, when I went to school...
There were no computers.
Well, there were computers, but there were no computer courses.
Yeah, we called them abacuses.
No. Now, come on. I have to tell you, my introduction to computers was Dr. Courant.
Oh, really? Okay.
Of NYU, and I was on a newspaper, school newspaper staff, and I was introduced to him, and because he had one dozen computers in the world or in the United States, and I remember it was a big room that we were, building we went into,
yep.
And I said, Dr. Courant, where's the computer? He says, you're inside of it. Okay? And these are all vacuum tubes.
Yep.
And so...
Ladies on roller skates,
so,
changing them.
So I made up my mind. That's a field I want to be in, because if you're inside a room with vacuum tubes, you're going to be nice and warm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the air conditioning bills for those.
Well, let me go through.
I just want to stay on this, you know, not getting jobs in their field thing, mm-hmm. because it's so misleading. There's a wonderful site, and if you want, I can send you the link to it, so you can look at it. But it was again Census Bureau data, and it's the American Community Study or something like that. It samples an enormous amount, tens of thousands of people, and some guy went and accessed this data, huge database, and mined it, and came up with a correlation between the person's college major and what their current job is.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be amazed that there's just absolutely no correlation.
There's no correlation at all.
No correlation at all. And mm-hmm. this is one of the things that these young people don't understand, is that, you know, when I talk to high school kids and college kids, one of my favorite questions that I ask them is, what's your favorite food in the whole world?
Ice cream.
And I get ice cream, I get pepperoni pizza, I get my mom's meatloaf.
Yeah.
You know what I tell them?
What?
You're wrong. Now, how can they be wrong about their favorite food? Well, here's why. Because I'll tell them, what you just told me was the favorite food of all the ones you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But there are thousands and thousands of dishes you've never tasted. You don't even know exist.
Well, how can it be favorite if I've never tasted it?
But it could be your favorite if you tasted it.
Well...
I said, out of all the possibilities, you don't know because you don't know all the possibilities. Okay. If certainly among the ones you've had, it's the favorite, and that's fine.
Okay.
But it's the same thing with jobs.
Let me...
Young people today have such a limited vocabulary in terms of how people make their livings.
Yes.
And they really don't understand the different kinds of things that people do. And so they end up making these choices. They choose majors. They choose career paths based on just the slimmest of information. And basically, what most people do and have done for generations is they go out, they get a job, and they continue to learn. They learn about the company they're working for. They learn about the different kinds of things that people do in that job, that company, and get involved in some projects, and they, you know, find that they're good at this. And
learning to learn is a lifetime.
It is. It is.
Job.
And yet, so many of these young kids, these young kids feel all this pressure. They put all this pressure on themselves. Now your kids are grown, so you probably don't encounter this, but today I've talked to lots of parents. I talked to my neighbor just this afternoon, and her high school student daughter is waiting to hear from colleges. And she literally says, if I don't get into the college, my first choice, my life will be over.
And
you know, if I don't get the right major, my life will be over. If I don't get good grades, my life will be over. If I don't get a good job coming out of college, my life will be over.
Hey, Alfred, let me give you some of the stuff that the Census Bureau come up with.
Okay.
That is statistic. You can't argue with it, okay? And this is along with what you were saying. Yeah, well listen to it, okay? For those who are in the computer-related field, okay?
Yep.
The actual overall unemployment rate is 2.7%. Okay. However, when you look at it, between the one with the lowest rate are Asians with 2.1, and within that, the highest unemployment are blacks with 5.3.
Within
the computer
majors.
Field, okay?
Now, these are people with computer majors?
With computer-related education courses in science, technology, engineering, and math, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the average unemployment rate for men is 2.5, women is 3.2%.
Sadly, none of those numbers surprise me.
Now, those happen to be less than the national average, okay?
Both much better than the national average.
Now, here's one that really surprised me, because I thought, I read it and I read it again. I said, you know what? I kind of agree. For all those who go into the STEM field,
mm-hmm.
only 26% continue to be in the STEM field. And what happens is that they move into other areas that are non-STEM.
Are you talking about
such as careers
in college before they get their degree?
No.
after they graduate.
After they graduate, and they work in the STEM field.
Yep. And they discover that's not what they want.
That's right.
Yep.
And they end up moving into careers in education, business, finance,
sure.
and office
everything.
Support.
Everything.
Right,
and then, again, you know, so that person who thinks that they love engineering,
right.
and they go and they get the job and they discover that they're just crunching numbers
all day.
They may not like that, but they may discover that they enjoy the people part of it, and they move into sales.
Right. Now, here is a number that I was very surprised by, and people who are interested in getting to STEM, is that if you start in the STEM field, you tend to stay in the STEM field, but you will move out of it eventually for at least half the people who are in it. But the big surprise was if you're not in the STEM field and you're working and you want to get in the STEM field, it's almost impossible.
That's not a surprise to me.
Well, a lot of people course on the air, they say, you know, I want to change my career. I want to go into the STEM field. And what you're really saying is, you may have the aptitude, but it's going to be tough getting a job.
Well, basically what you need to do is go back and get the training. At the very least, you're going to need certifications.
But then you'll have to compete with a whole lot of people who are unemployed at the same time.
There are people who are unemployed. Yeah. Again, the numbers, as you say, there are fewer of them unemployed in those fields than they are in the others. So, you know, depending on where you're willing to work, it may or may not be that much of a problem.
So, Alfred, if we were to recap this, what are your words of wisdom on this?
So if you love engineering, if you love math, if you love science and technology, go ahead, major in that. But don't major in those just because you think it's going to get you a good job. That's absolutely the wrong reason to do it. All right? Here's what I tell parents. One of the things I do is I talk to parents of high school students a lot. And one of the things I tell them over and over again is, first of all, there's no question but that a college degree is worth the investment. The Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco did a study recently, and they determined that for the average college graduate today, over the course of their lifetime and in today's dollars, that college degree is worth more than $800,000 to them in lifetime earnings. So, you know, you spend somewhere between $80,000 or $100,000 on a college education, get an $800,000 return in today's dollars, that's a pretty good investment.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is that college degree is absolutely a worthwhile investment. However, then parents ask me, okay, well, what's the best degree for my kid to get? And my answer to them is, the best degree for your child to get is the one that they will finish.
And the one they're interested in working in.
Well, if they're interested in working in it, that's nice. But the fact is, on average, 40% of the students who start a four-year degree program, 40% of them do not have a degree within 6 years. And if you look at the associate degree level, community colleges, for public community colleges, the percentage who don't have a degree after 3 years, another 1.5 times it should take, 70% of the students who start haven't finished in 3 years. So the big problem here is these young people are taking on some of that debt in order to go after these degrees. They're not finishing, so they don't have the extra earning power that the degree would give them, and yet they still have the debt. Those are the people who are in the crisis. Those are the ones, that's the statistic that, to me, is the most upsetting. So to me, the bottom line is, I don't care what your major is, I don't care whether it's a two-year degree, four-year degree, what it is, pick a program that you can finish.
By the way, there's only one job I know of that is absolutely recession-proof.
What's that?
Mortician.
There you go. So the point here is, you've got to pick a job a program that you're going to be able to finish, because before you run out of time, before you got to run out of money, before whatever. Once you've got that under you, you can then worry about the next step. So maybe you just get a 2-year degree, and then transfer to a 4-year program if you can still afford to keep going. Or you go out and you get a job, and you end up getting a job with a company that's going to help pay your tuition for your bachelor's degree, and beyond maybe. But
Alfred,
it's not a matter of which major you pick. It's a matter of picking something that you're going to be able to finish. That's the single most important thing.
And that's very important. Alfred, before you leave, because I know you're pressed for time, there's one other thing I want to cover.
Sure.
And that's you're into wearable tech. And
I am.
Yes, and maybe you can give us an update.
Sure.
I know that you may not be prepared to talk about it. Because
Oh, no. Always ready to talk about it.
Okay.
I've got some great stories to talk about.
Well, no. Okay, just tell me, I mean, is it around the corner? Is it already here?
Oh, it's
here. Or is it something like a voice recognition that's going to take forever?
No. Wearable technology is changing lives already today.
Give us an update.
So there's wearable technology. You have things like the fitness wrist devices like Fitbit and things like that track your number of steps and all those things. And those are all interesting. And actually, Fitbit is selling huge numbers of them. There was a bit of a dust-up recently because Fitbit made a very public show of saying that they didn't think Apple's new health health tech?
The
health kit. The new health kit that Apple's trying to build this new platform that will allow all kinds of devices, not just iOS devices, to send data through to the cloud to be analyzed and help with fitness and health and medical kinds of applications. Well, Fitbit said published a statement saying it wasn't really ready to join in on HealthKit and wanted to wait and see how it developed. And so Apple apparently is about to retaliate by taking the Fitbit application off the Apple App Store, which is there's an interesting little dust up there. But the fact of it is that the big driving force for wearables is not going to be the Apple Watch, and it's not going to be the Fitbit and a lot of these expensive toys that people are interested in. The real money is actually in health and medical applications. When you look at the number of people with diabetes in this country and worldwide, if you look at the number of people with Alzheimer's and dementia in this country and worldwide, just those two applications alone, there's opportunity to save millions, even billions of dollars by using smarter devices to help monitor and treat individuals with various conditions.
Now, Alfred, there was a recent poll that came out that ties in with what you're saying, is that a very high number of Americans leave themselves vulnerable to hackers because they rely on Wi-Fi, and much of the Wi-Fi they rely on is unsafe. Now, if you're talking about wearable tech, where is that security? I mean, I would hate to have a pacemaker and someone is playing around with it.
Yep. So a couple things are at work here. First of all, for your Fitbit, that's wide open. You know, there's all kinds of security issues there. But once you start getting into things that are controlled by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, for medical applications, all of a sudden you've stepped into a whole new world of regulation and compliance and restriction. For example, there's the HIPAA law, which is a privacy act about patient records. You can get in huge trouble for letting unauthorized access to patient data, even if that's a doctor who's looking at it. If they're not authorized to see it, there's enormous fines and penalties involved. And so there are many companies out there, not household names at this point, but who are building end-to-end secure systems that will keep your data secure the whole way through and protect access to it. That's one of the problems that I think some people have when they look at Apple, is Apple, right or wrong, doesn't have a strong corporate reputation. You know, in the enterprise level,
we're going to get a lot of feedback. And
I know we are, but that's, bring it on. I mean, they're known as a consumer product company. You know, they make stuff that's fun and easy and
very
flexible to use.
Very chic, industrial design.
Nice design, and people love it. And they have the most devoted following. But they're not known for having Fort Knox locked up, secure, robust, end-to-end protection and stuff. It's the difference between the iPhone and the BlackBerry. There's a reason that corporations use BlackBerry, because BlackBerry locks stuff up in a way that corporations
needed it,
and they could maintain control over their internal and external communications in a way that you can't do with an iPhone.
Well, so, you know, Alfred, before you go, I'm gonna give you a softball question, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna give you two softball questions. Number one is, if they want to learn more about what you're doing with Wearable Tech, is there a website they can go to?
There is indeed, and in fact, if you want to see the site that I'm writing, I contribute to it daily. It's called Health Tech Insider.
Repeat that.
Health Tech Insider.
Dot com.
Dot com.
Okay.
Health Tech Insider. And you would all be doing me a huge solid if you choose to sign up for the free weekly news digest. We're starting out. And
wait. You said free. You want to give free. That website again?
Okay, healthtechinsider.com. You can go see it for free every day. But if you sign up for the free news digest, every Wednesday you'll get a letter from me that'll highlight some of the what I think are the top stories of the past week, including in today's issue, you would have heard about this new device that's coming out next year that you put on your head, and it zaps your brain to change your mood.
Boy, wait a minute.
Good or bad?
Now, all right, well, look. So it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You've got a staff meeting coming up. You're getting drowsy. So what do? Do you go...
Take a cup of coffee.
Get a cup of coffee. Do you go eat that sugar donut to spike your glucose system? Or do you put electrodes on your head and zap your brain?
They have other things that will do that as well.
Well, this is the first consumer one.
And Alfred?
This is a transdermal... I forgot the whole term, but it's actually a procedure that has been in use in clinical settings for everything from depression to weight loss to a variety of conditions. But this is a new company called Think, THYNK, and next year they're going to come out with a product that you can put on your head, and you dial in which change of mood you want. You can go for relaxation, you can go for focus, or you can go for energize.
Tell me who's using it, I'll hack it.
It doesn't communicate with the outside, so it's a self-contained device. My question is, okay, well, what if we can... Well, first of all, it's been tested on thousands of users already. So, I mean, they've taken this pretty far down the road. They just got $13 million in venture capital funding to help bring it out. But to me, the question is, okay, but what about people with a propensity towards addiction? You know, is there what's the unintended consequence of having something like this? You know, if you can strap in and with electricity relax yourself, how is that different than taking a pill or doing something else? I mean, there's a lot of
you said electricity.
Electricity.
I have to tell you, I can get quite a jolt sitting in an electric chair.
Yes, well, fortunately, this uses a much lower dosage.
Hey, Alfred, let me ask you that other easy softball question,
sure.
Okay? Where can they hear you talk about Wearable Tech, in the next month?
Where can they hear me say? Oh, well, they probably, if they're within the
Manhattan
range
area
of WBAI, if you're not listening on a stream, but listening to this over the air, you can come hear me at the NIAC meeting.
The New York Amateur Computer Club meeting on the second Thursday of November.
Yeah, it's the 13th.
And Dr. Alfred Paul will be giving a presentation on wearable tech.
Yep.
Boy, you know, that sounds like a softball promo for you.
It is. For NIAC. NIAC deserves it more than I do.
Hey, Alfred, thank you for joining me tonight, because I know you have a very busy schedule, and I know that we really impressed on you, because with this two-hour fundraising, what we wanted to do in the first hour was give meaningful discussion to something that really concerns all of us, such as the STEM area, because there are many people thinking about it, they're in it, what should they do,
yep.
and we're talking about wearable tech, and you really, you know, That's what we want to spend on. Well, now we're going to be talking about fundraising. Yes, okay. Before you leave.
Well, let me mention two other things. One is I have a book called Seven Success Secrets That Every College Student Needs to Know. And you can find it on Amazon.
By the way, seven secrets? It consists of seven words. Study, 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 study.
No, it's more than that.
No,
Because again, schools aren't preparing the college students for the working world, and this book helps students understand what they can do to make themselves more attractive job candidates once they graduate. So, seven success secrets that every college student needs to know, but also...
Where can they find that?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
But you can walk into any bookstore and they'll order it for you.
All right. What's the other thing?
And the other thing is, for anybody listening tonight, be you a high school student, a college student, a parent, a grandparent, if you've got concerns about what to do with your kid or, you know, the kinds of choices that they're going to be making about college or career or anything like that, feel free to write me.
Okay.
Here's my email address. It's apoor, APOOR, @verizon.net.
Or you can go to PC Radio Show and put Alfred and we'll redirect it to him.
Yep. But,
and Alfred, I'm not going to let you get off the hook that quickly. I want you to tell the audience why you feel that should contribute to WBAI.
Well, because the listeners get a chance to listen to great content like this, uninterrupted, in-depth, and educated information that they can actually use and put to use. It's not just entertainment. It's solid information from people who know what they're talking about.
And you've been
is entertaining.
And you've been associated with the show for at least 10 years.
More than that.
And you can say that, you know, when it's something that is bad, we there's no BS about it. We'll tell you it's bad. If it's good, we'll tell you it's good.
The beauty of this is we get to talk about what we think's important and call it like we see it. And I have so much respect for you and Joe and everybody else who's involved in the show and Stevie.
By the way, Stevie is asthmatic.
good one.
But, you know, the service that you guys have provided to the community, not just within New York, but around the world, for
31 years.
31 years, yes.
And counting.
In a row.
In a row, because there are people,
in a row,
you know.
Yep, yeah. Uninterrupted. You know, it's just a tremendous accomplishment, and I just have such deep respect for all that you've accomplished, and I'm so proud that I've been able to be a part of this in varying degrees over the years. So it's been a real joy for me.
Okay, Alfred, thank you, and I'll see you at TCF.
Hope so.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
That was Dr. Alfred Poor. He had been with us during the first hour. And at this time, I just want to announce that this is WBAI-FM, 99.5 New York. And this is the Personal Computer Show. And if you're just tuning in now, because this is the normal time you tune in the Personal Computer Show, we've been on for 1 hour. And if you've been listening to Off the Hook or you're used to listening to Off the Hook, we were on their time slot and we will continue. And, you know, I got to talk about WBAI. We have a lot of problems at WBAI. We have a lot of family intramural squabbles, silly things. But one thing that you cannot deny is that it's a soapbox where you hear things you don't normally hear at all. I mean,
it's for the people.
Yeah, like Alfred talked about, we've been over 30 years doing a talk show on computing and all aspects of computing. The good, the bad, people ask us for our opinion, we give it to them, it's straight talk. We've told people, don't buy this, you got to be kidding.
How much have you gotten paid in 31 years?
It actually costs Joe and I money, and we get nothing. In other words, we actually, to produce the show, Joe and I, we spend money of our own pocket. Like the website, we pay for the website ourselves. The lines, we don't have a paid staff to answer mail, we answer our own mail. And by the way, when I say we, it's just not Joe and myself. There's Michael Horowitz, there's Dr. Alfred Poor, there's Danny Burstein, and even Stevie jumps in on his expertise on areas that he can cover. And if we can, there's David Perry. And if we can't answer it, we have friends that will answer it. So really, we are asking you to continue to support WBAI. We're trying to get out of the morass that we're in. We think we can get out of it, but we still are very mindful that we have to give you content. We have to give you something that's meaningful. We just can't just say give and beg. And but you know, at the meantime, and you know, at the same time, we gave you almost one full hour of uninterrupted content, and I hope you appreciated that. And for those who might have missed it because you're just joining us now, we'll probably put it up on our website so you can download. And we had two major topics we talked about: STEM. The STEM field is the science, technology, engineering, and math field. Jobs, are there jobs? What's the unemployment? What are statistics from the Census Bureau? We talked about a wearable tech. Now, where else are you going to hear some honest opinion about STEM? You know, we hear on one talk, we don't have enough workers in it. On the other hand, we hear people saying, what work? What are you talking about? Well, the truth is, it's somewhere in between. And we do have four premiums, okay, that we are pitching. And we hope that you take advantage of it because it's right now, right about 2 minutes after the hour. At about 15 minutes after the hour, I'm going to resume with more content. But what I want to talk about in the next 10 minutes is what premiums we have. We have the XP Windows XP support DVD, and what is significant about it is that we have, and it took me a while to find it, by the way, the unofficial Service Pack 4. It's about 900 megabytes, and it's a network version. What do I mean by network version? Network version means that you don't need a network to run it, okay? What it means is that it has all the patches, whether you need it or not, so that depending on the operating environment you're running in, you'll have it, okay? And these are patches through end of August. Now, that's pretty complete. And, 26-27% of the people are still using XP. And let's be, you know, I wish that the press, the media, and the manufacturers are honest with the people. There are people that are continue to use Windows XP for one reason, because they have a special piece of hardware that does not run on any other operating system. There are no drivers for it. You know, I'll give you a good example, okay? And Stevie could relate to this, all right?
Yeah.
Many of us are more than just digital photography people. We have a lot, you know. Like, I cut my tooth on film photography in 1947, and I have thousands and thousands of negatives, all right? And those negatives are not digital. And I bought a very high-end scanner, a film scanner, you know, not a print scanner, but film scanner from Nikon. Nikon no longer makes it, and because they no longer make it, but it's an excellent film scanner, it works on XP. I have no drivers there for 7, 8, 8, 1, or anything else. I have to run it, okay? Now, there are medical devices, which when I go see the doctor, I looked at it. You know what? These are vertical applications. They're very customized applications, and there's no way that that you think that they're going to cut over the Windows 7 or 8 or 8.1 or anything like that. They need it. In other words, there's still a real world out there that will continue to use Windows XP. And you know what? Microsoft knows that.
The solution to that, according to them, is, hey, just buy another one. Buy a more modern one.
Yeah, but you know what? If they won't take that film scanner, what do you do? And you have, you know, thousands.
They'll give you 10% off of your next purchase.
Yeah, and what do I do with all those memories on film?
Oh, no, you buy another film scanner.
No.
Yeah.
No, not. Guess what? Try getting a high-end one. They're not available anymore.
Yes, they are.
You know what it's like? It's trying to buy a high-end 45 RPM the player. Now, I use the word player. I'm going to get email saying, what is a 45 RPM player?
It's a gun, isn't it?
No. No. So one of our premiums is the Windows XP support disc. It's a DVD. Requested donations, $50. And what I did was, in the last minute of preparing the premium, I threw in a bonus of a whole bunch of stuff on Linux on it. During the summer, we did a presentation on Linux. And there's a chart that I refer to that explains all these different terms, you know, like, you know, for those playing around with Linux, You know what grub is. You know what pseudo is. You know what a gimp is and all that. But to the average user, those are just acronyms or just words that has no meaning at all. There's a chart on this that I have. Now, I also have made available a Windows 7 support disk. The Windows 7 support DVD disk is, request a donation is $50. And for that $50, you get the all the service packs for Windows 7, which you can download. But you know what's no longer available? The three pieces to the XPM mode. Now, what is XPM? XPM, and this was really a great thing that they had, and they took it off. Microsoft said that if you were running Windows XP, I'm sorry, Windows 7 Professional or Ultimate, okay, they made available free of charge a licensed copy of Windows XP in virtual mode. No, you don't have to buy it. You just download it, and it was absolutely for free, Windows XP Virtual, okay? And if you didn't have the hardware to run it, they had the virtualization software free.
And that's great.
If you need the virtualization monitor, they had the virtualization monitor for you. So those three pieces. And they went even one step further. Oh, you're running a 32-bit operating system? We have a 32-bit version for you. Are you running a 64-bit operating system? We'll have the 64-bit version for you. They had the, you know, what's the term they use? The whole kit and caboodle XP support for Windows 7, they took it off. Well, it's on this disk, and it's a requested donation of $50. And like the Windows XP support, I figure, hey, you know what? I'll throw in the Linux bonus on it. And then I was able to get the Windows XP support and the Windows 7 support onto one big DVD loaded. It's a $75 requested donation. Now, that's very reasonable. And, Stevie, we just hope that people can understand why they, you know, the media tells you get out of Windows XP. It's not that easy.
Not the media, it's the company.
Yeah, well, you know, I know with you, I can give you an excellent example of that.
Okay.
Stevie took me home one day, and I said, boy, this guy, Stevie, he's a great guy. and I'm getting out of the I'm getting out of the car and getting into the house. Hank, I have a XP machine I want you to take inside the house.
Yeah.
and I took it in, and I called him up the next day. Stevie, this is an XP. You want a 7? He says, no, I need XP.
Well, I like it. I like the machine.
There were things you were doing on it you really needed.
How many machines do you have, Hank?
What? Running XP?
No. Okay, yeah. How many do you have running XP?
One.
Oh, you just have one XP.
Yeah. And you know what? Why? Because of the hardware that's needed. And you're going to say, yeah. What hardware, right?
And no. I know.
No.
You just talked about it.
No. More than that, okay? 5.25-inch floppy disk.
What? What's that?
Hey, some people will give me this old media, 5.25-inch floppy disk. I used to have 8-inch floppy disk per side drives, and I gave up on that. I just wanted to keep it.
It's a 7-inch. It's not 8.
No, 8-inch. 8-inch per side floppy disk.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that that people may have. By the way, that is one of the problems that people have.
5.25. When's the last time somebody gave you a 5.25 floppy drive?
Well, to be truthful, a long time. But I'll tell you what someone did give me, a zip drive.
Okay,
a zip drive. And you know what?
What did they expect you to do with it?
Well, I was going to say that's...
Retrieve the information from 2002?
You know, we talk about backup, okay? And that's one of the problems with backup is that you back up religiously, you put it on the equipment, and when the technology changes, what happens?
A zip drive. You wait 20 years later to...
No, what happens is that unless you change and move all that stuff that you back up to from one media to another, like, for instance, you took a lot of digital pictures and you put it onto, let's say, DVDs, okay, or CDs or whatever it is, and the next technology is we're no longer using DVDs. You got to do another conversion, another transfer, and you have to have the ability to be able to read the device.
Zip drive.
You don't even know what a zip
drive
is.
5.25. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, a zip drive is something like a gun, right?
Yeah, zip drive, right? Isn't that it with the rubber band and the hanger?
So, And the last item I want to talk about is the WBAI buddy. It's really, we're asking you to just give out a love for the station, for the love of
continue
with WBAI, that you can hear us.
Go WBAI.
Well, the station is having a hard time because of all the intramural. Hopefully we're getting over it.
Really?
Because we do have people making real, I mean, look, you know, well, before we got on the air, there was a public service announcement where we were asking people to go in on a Sunday to 388 Atlantic Avenue to help out with getting the premiums out. And people are coming out. They are helping. So, I mean, we have a very dedicated, sincere group of people that do want to hear alternative broadcasting. In other words, what is alternative broadcasting? Stuff that you don't normally hear on other stations. Now, I would challenge anyone to name me any media,
KPFK,
that has a a personal computer show for 30 years or more.
I'll get back to you.
No, it's here. We're here. And Stevie, I know that, you know, you suffer from asthma, okay? But I'll tell you, Stevie, he's just as dedicated. He's a member of the team here, and it costs him money to come into the city to do the show. He doesn't get compensated for it.
I need a raise.
He enjoys it, okay? And the raise is easy to give him because I'll say, whatever you get, I'll give you 100% more.
Oh, great, man. I love this.
100% times zero is what?
I didn't do so good in math.
Zero.
Okay.
No, Stevie really is, you know, rain, shine, snow, he comes in, and for the few times that he doesn't, you know, because he has a conflict in schedule. But I'll tell you one thing about Stevie is that sometimes he just comes into the city early, goes to the Central Park, and near what street anyway?
Oh, yeah.
What
73rd
street?
73rd?
On the east side or west side?
West side.
On the west side of 73rd. And I kid him all the time about him playing his bongo drum. They're not bongo drums.
It's a djembe.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to give you that YouTube thing where this guy claims he is the YouTube king of Central Park.
Who?
But he has white hair, and that, so it can't be you because you have no hair, right?
Yeah, whatever.
So I can just see now, when I give it to Stevie, he's going to say, the guy...
It doesn't matter. There's so much going on in Central Park. Hey, if you haven't been to Central Park in the warm weather on the weekends, you got to see it. It's a lot going on. Free entertainment. Worth it.
Free entertainment?
Yeah, on the weekends, you got all kinds of magicians and acrobats and balloons and bubbles and violins and everything.
Well, okay. So those are the four premiums. And really, make that phone call.
Yeah.
By the way, you know...
What phone call?
212-209-2950. We forgot to give out the phone number.
What number?
212-209-2950.
Wait, I got to write this down. What's the number?
212-209-2950.
I thought it was 100.
No. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, if you can... Tell them what the four premiums are.
Okay. One of them is a $50 donation, and you're going to get the disc that Hank made for XP support. And take over, Hank. I'm a little busy right here for a minute.
There's a Windows XP support DVD. There's a Windows 7 support DVD, both for $50 each. And if you want both contents... It's on another DVD. I call it 2-for-1, and that's a $75 requested donation. And we also have the Buddy System,
209-2950.
212-209-2950. And I think that, you know, I think the audience doesn't want us to just continue to, you know, harass them. But we really need the money, though. We really need the money.
I know.
And by the way, I there's another comment I want to make is that someone asked me before going on the air, are you on next week? The answer is, we don't know.
No.
We don't know.
How much does it cost to be a buddy for the personal computer show?
$10 or more a month.
$10?
Wait. How about one less pack of cigarettes a month?
What if you don't smoke cigarette, Hank?
Well... I know that for those who don't smoke, how about one less or two less cartons of ice cream?
I'm not giving up my ice cream.
You're not giving up ice cream?
Mm-mm. You got to think of something else.
Well, you got that pot belly, and you could give up something, right?
Oh, yeah, I could give up a pot.
Okay, why don't you give up pot? It'd be healthy for you. Of course, a lot of people disagree with me on that. I'm not going to get into it, okay?
Beer. How about a couple of cans of beer?
212-209-2950. By the way, $10. We've had a lot of news in the past 2 weeks that we were off, and I do want to talk about some of them. One is a Shell Shock Bash update, all right? Shell Shock, first of all, what is Bash? Bash was it's a piece of code in Linux that affects all Linux users and OS X Apple users, okay? So it's also in there. And it's really it's similar to the Windows command prompt at that level of communications. And one question that people have been asking me is that, well, they found out about this in a little bit, mid-September, maybe the week after that. Haven't they fixed it yet, okay? Well, there has been 17,400 attacks on 1,800 web domains. That's a lot. And in just the last 24 hours, by the way, these numbers are in the last 24 hours, and 55% of the attacks were coming in from China and from within the United States. And they've been patching it as quickly as they can, and the last set of patches was only just gotten last week. And I know of at least four patches that are in. And now, if you're into patching because you happen to be running and you happen to have the aptitude to do it, go to Red Hat. Red Hat has four of the patches already posted, and all you do is download it and go through the necessary updates.
How do you go to Red Hat?
RedHat.com.
Okay.
Okay. Red Hat happens to be an enterprise Linux distributor and vendor. All right. So we hope that that they can firm up all the fixes. Now, one reason why the distros will be slow in getting these fixes out is that we have distros that are dependent on other distros. Okay, Xubuntu, Xubuntu, okay, is a variation of Ubuntu. So when Ubuntu make their changes, Xubuntu makes their changes, and then you have the others who depend on it to make their changes. So it's like a domino effect. So it's going to take some time. And if you want to know whether or not it's been updated or not, the latest Bash current piece of code is 4.3, and it does have that vulnerability, Bash 4.3. Mm. So if you go to the distro watch and you go down and look at the components, what you want to do is see a Bash with version number 4.4 or greater, okay? You're looking for Bash 4.4 or greater. By the way, Stevie,
yes.
I know you use Dropbox, right?
Sure, who doesn't?
Well, 7 million Dropbox passwords were compromised this past couple of days. So just goes to show that why we've been always wary about cloud computing is the best of them, no matter how hard they try, it can be compromised. So what Dropbox is doing is they're basically saying, hey, go come up with new passwords because it's been compromised. So that's what they're recommending. And Stevie, you always hear me talking to Joe about my frustration with a patent office, like one click and so on. Well, ever since they came up with the June
click
saying that, hey, a so-called business method patent doesn't hold up unless it's, you got something really unique about it, okay? Guess what? The patent office has been now denying a lot more patents, a much higher ratio. And you know what the good point is? I hear the good and the bad. The good is that we waste so much time and effort with lawsuits suing over trivial things, like, one-click transaction, things like that. And on the other side, they say, well, how do you expect businesses to come up with, to be prosperous unless they had the ability to do that. Well, I don't buy it. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you know, one click, it was a stupid thing, you know, that you have something and you can click one time and then you're going to patent it. That makes no sense. I can press one button and accomplish something. I'm going to patent it. That's like patenting the color red.
Wait a minute. Did you know that Amazon patented taking digital pictures with a white background?
Yeah, you mentioned that on the show, but
I don't know the proper color. Okay, can you imagine if you were to patent taking pictures with a blue background?
Right.
Now why do I say blue?
Because it's a color.
No, it's because I think that you can put different backgrounds. So you have actors and actresses, and they take pictures like
green screen.
Was it green screen or blue screen?
Green screen.
Well, these are things that are really ridiculous, and I know that one guy had patented a pedal for a brake in a car.
Well, the pedal that can just be put on your car, you can do that. The old pedal off and put your pedal on. Remember the pedals that used to have the big foot on it?
Well, so you know how car manufacturers got around it?
How?
Different size pedals, different design pedals. I know, the whole thing is silly. Yeah. It really is, okay? Oh, by the way, you used to work for the phone company, and now in New York, and I don't know about in the urban areas and where you live, are there any public phone booths still available?
Oh, yes, let's talk about that. But that was a whole different phone company, what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, can you talk about it?
They're putting in those, what do you call it, a sensor or something, that if you have a phone and you go near it, it broadcasts where you are and reports.
It's tracking you.
Yes, it's tracking you and where you go.
And the city didn't know about it.
On your smartphone. What is that? Is Titan, is it? Is that
No. Actually, the company was doing was BuzzFeed News.
Yeah, but what...
Oh, I'm sorry. They reported on it, okay? It was Titan, okay? The company was Titan.
Right.
What they did was they put these on onto these paid phones. And there's thousands of some still in New York City. I don't know if
thousands is
yeah,
thousands
still
of hundreds.
And they planted these tiny radio into the phone booth, and they track where you are
On your smartphone.
And when the city found out about it, they said, "Get it out." But how do they verify it's out? They take their word for it?
No, you know, you have machines
now,
and equipment that can tell
what
it's transmitting.
What on earth, God? What made them do it?
Well, they want to find out where you're going. You don't know who is sanctioning this. Mm. But you know what? The funny thing is, it's tracking you on your cell phone. So why are you going to a payphone if you're on cell phone?
No. It's just as you walk by.
Yeah, you walk by with your smartphone.
Wait. Most people have their smartphone on all the time. It's not turned off.
Yeah, no, that's true. They never said who actually is behind it, just like they don't talk about running Facebook.
Oh, you're saying it's not the company that made the device behind it. You're saying...
Somebody is sanctioning this to happen. The payphone people, do you think that they have an interest in this?
Well, when you say payphone, it's not the telephone companies anymore.
Titan. It's on the Titan phones, the Titan payphones. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Titan has an interest on where you walk on the block? No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's another entity.
By the way, did you ever read George Orwell's 1984 book?
Yes, I did.
Do you think we're getting there or we're past it?
We're there in a different way. It's not quite as the book is.
Are you kidding? It's not quite.
Well,
it's worse.
Going after you because, you know, the police people, what do they call them in the book? If you're subversive, according to them, they actually come out after you. It's a little, they have the camera watching you at your house, every move that you make. It's just a little different. They're doing it.
If you think about it, with all these ATMs and cameras and
smartphones,
so on, and you walk on the street.
Yeah, smartphones,
you're,
GPS.
You're a Hollywood star every time you walk out on the street, right?
Yeah, but the thing is with the 1984 book is that they were after you unless you just conformed.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the NSA, when they eavesdrop on you, they're not after you? And if you say they're not after you, then it's okay for them to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Did I say anything like that?
You implied it.
I'm saying the NSA, they're going to look at you if they want. I mean, Facebook is the best spying tool ever known to man because you put on your friends and their face recognition programs so they know, and you report, okay, I'm going to the movies today. So they know exactly what you're doing, where you're going,
I'll
who
your
you
friends
what. Are.
Let me remind everyone that we are fundraising. Our number is 212-209-2950.
Yep.
We have four premiums.
Yeah.
We have the generic premium called the WBAI Buddy.
What's the best premium?
I think that's the best one because you are expressing the love of the personal computer show and the station with nothing in return. That's true giving.
Well,
that's true love.
That's
true love.
That's good.
That's true love.
Second best.
Second best? Oh, I would say that, if you still need Windows XP support, you can, you know what? Go get the 2-for-1.
Okay, okay.
Get the 2-for-1.
People, they don't really have a lot of the
And
XP.
If you don't have the money, then pick...
Forget about the money, but what's the third best? If you don't have XP and you're already a buddy...
You don't have XP?
If you don't have XP, which a lot of people don't have XP, you know, this
is
the 21st
century. Well, one in four still does, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But what if
now,
you...
Now, I know you that you are striving to be in the 1%.
Okay.
And so you don't have XP, except I got your XP machine.
I got you. Yeah, well, you have it. I don't have it. So now you have two machines. You want it, you can have it. I have another one.
My wife said to me, when are you getting that monster out of the
house? All right, I'll come get it. I got a use for it.
212-209-2950.
Wait, what's the third best premium?
Doesn't matter.
Yes,
you know
does.
What? We have four premiums. We have the Buddy, WBA Buddy, $10 or more per month. And 212-209-2950. And if you give on that, it's just, you know... Give up something for in each month. It could be a pack of cigarettes. It could be, some vice that you have. Or, you know what?
Who smokes anymore?
Unfortunately, when the Attorney General back in the 60s came up with, recommend people don't smoke, adult smoking was about 36% to 37%. And a couple of years ago, it was down to 16%. But you know what the sad news is? It's gone back up.
Yeah, I see it.
I know it's gone back up.
But you know
and
what?
It's a young people that's smoking because it's fashionable.
It's the stupidest thing going.
I know, it is. And we have the Windows XP support DVD disc for $50. We have the Windows 7 support disc for $50.
Tell me about that one again.
Each of them. Okay, one has a support. And that's what's important about the XP support is... We have the unofficial Service Pack 4 on it, along with the write-up on how to easily modify the registry for continued XP updates. I also threw in as a bonus a bunch of stuff on Linux for those who may be interested in that. On the Windows 7 support disk, what you cannot download anymore is Windows XP Professional running in virtual mode under Windows 7.
That's hot.
And by the way, I love it because, you know, when you talk about Windows XP, it's not like you have to switch to a different operating system. It runs like a program in itself. In other words, if I have a program that I need to run under Windows XP, I don't go into the XP operating system. I just go to the program, and it runs as if it was part of the Windows 7 operating system, but in XP mode. That makes it different. And what makes it unique is Microsoft says, here's a software free. Here's a free license for it. Now, if you can't download it, it's because you didn't download it in time. If you don't have hardware virtualization, no problem. The software's there. It's also included, okay? If you're concerned about 32-bit or 64-bit versions, don't worry. They have both. And in terms of the virtual operating system, they also have that. So that is the Windows 7 DVD support for $50. And if you want both the Windows 7 and XP, it's $75. It's called 2-for-1. 2-for-1. Okay, now, let me...
You still have another one. You still have another premium there.
No. That's the Buddy.
That was all four?
That you didn't count. You're four.
The Buddy, the XP, and the Windows 7. What's the fourth one?
The 2-for-1.
Oh, okay.
Boy, you know what? It's a good thing that I only have four, because if I had said there was five, you have to take
your
shoes off.
You have five now? You have five?
No. If I said there were five, you'd take off your shoes and count your toes, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, listen, I want to go over one more item that would be of interest, and then to show you why we feel that the personal computer show, it's important to a lot of people. I get a lot of people come up to me, say, we hope you continue. We do get real information. Now, I do a lot of digging, and...
Oh, you work at the graveyard that you were talking earlier?
Yeah. Now, did you know there was a study made by Backblaze, okay? And Backblaze. What it does is that they run... all these search engines use a whole lot of servers, right?
You
know, a lot of servers. And this one, I think with the statistics of over 30,000 hard drives in it, they have a mixture of three manufacturers, okay? And the three manufacturers is...
Maxtor, Seagate.
No. You got to be careful, okay? There's Seagate, there's Hitachi, and there's Western Digital, and all the rest has been bought out by them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't realize there's only...
No.
Yeah. In other words, the number of hardware manufacturers gone down. And is there a difference in reliability between one manufacturer and the other?
No.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And why is it yes?
Yeah. Why is it yes?
It turns out that when you do a deeper look into it, okay, the consumers buy more, or let's say when the manufacturers, when they put a system together, they're using more Seagates. All right?
Well, tell me why one
now,
is more reliable.
It turns out that, remember...
I've taken them apart.
A couple years ago, the standard warranty on a hard drive was 3 years. And then they changed it to 1 year. But you know what? 3 years were still available. The 3 years that are still available are used for enterprise systems where they want a greater reliability. There's far more testing done on it. It's built to a slightly different standard, okay? And so when you really look at the number of units out in the field, they really, if you buy enterprise-type systems, in other words, a green label, blue label, depending on what they call it, you're going to have greater reliability.
We're just talking about the hard drives, not the systems.
Hard drives, okay?
Yes, hard drives.
Now, if you are buying just a hard drive, should you opt to spend $5, $10 more for the enterprise drive? The answer is yes. If you buy a laptop or a system unit, you don't have a choice unless you happen to buy something a corporation would buy, the business unit, okay? And it turns out that the enterprise drives are built to a different standard, my recommendation is if you have the capability. Now I'm going to try to see if I can get Joe back on the phone, because as we're winding up... give him a call. Just let's see if he's still on, okay? All right? I want to do that, all right? And so let me just repeat. It's 212-209-2950, and... If we can make good today, okay, if we can make good and raise some decent money, I would like to be able to say with some reasonable confidence level that you can stay tuned to us next week at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, next week we should be here with the Personal Computer Show Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, well, usually.
Well, in other words, what's going to happen is that after tonight, they're going to look at the tally and they say, the Personal Computer Show didn't raise any money. They may have an audience, but it's not a very faithful audience. You know, by faithful, I mean, like, look, we are doing this free. We answer questions. And I know that many of you realize that, oh by the way, you know what I'm going to do?
Are you saying that we need listener support?
We need listener support. And you know what? We make public service announcements for computer clubs. I just hope that the people in the computer clubs realize that we're making announcements for... Let me tell you what's available, okay? Tomorrow, October the 16th, NYC.net has a meeting at Microsoft, 11 Times Square, and the presentation on AngularJS for ASP.net. Don't ask me what it is, But if you're an NYC.net person, it's tomorrow, and you have to register. So if you go to pcradioshow.org and left-hand side, say announcements, go to nyc.net, and you can see the RSVP there. The Brookdale Computer User Group will be having a presentation on the 17th, which is Friday, Slideshow Follies, at 7 p.m., Brookdale Community College in Lincroft, New Jersey, Building MAS, Room 100. The Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey, now this is interesting, they have a meeting on Friday at 7 p.m., but it's off-site, not at their regular site. They're going to be meeting at the Microsoft store on the second level of Macy's Wing at Bridgewater Commons Shopping Mall. I mean, that's a mouthful. The ACGNJ will be meeting on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Microsoft store on the second level Macy's Wing at Bridgewater Commons Shopping Mall. And the what will be demonstrated is the Windows Phone. And if you need more information on it, you can call 908-246-0410. WestCog, the small Westchester Computer Club, will be meeting at 1 p.m. Monday, October the 20th, at the Neighborhood House at 43 Wildy Street in Tarrytown. And there's street parking available. For more information, you call 914-423-1082. The Princeton PC User Group will be meeting on October the 28th, and they're going to do a comparison of free antivirus programs. Meeting is at 7 p.m., Mercer County Library in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And finally, the Westchester PC User Group will be meeting at on Thursday, November the 6th, and the presentation is from LinkedIn. And that's the one that a lot of people are required to use if they're looking for a job. They'll be meeting at 7 p.m., November the 6th, at the White Plains Middle School, room 261 in White Plains Middle School. And the reason why I make all these announcements deep into November, into the election period, is because we don't know if we're going to be back on the air. I would like to be able to say, you know, we actually have more announcements that is coming in, like from possibly the Icon U, the PC group, the Long Island Mac user group, the Computer Learning Center, the Danbury area, but they haven't finalized their notices yet. And normally when they do, we make the announcements for them. But you know what? If you have announcements to make, send it to me, pcradioshow.org. And if we're on the air, we'll make it. And that's the reason why it's important that you support WBAI, you support the Personal Computer Show. And yes, we've done well in the past, but it's always like, you know, was it Arthur Miller, Death of a Salesman? Don't tell me what you sold yesterday. How much have you sold today? Yes, we know that you've given in the past. We're asking for just a little more. We think we can turn the corner. We think we can continue to give you good content instead of just, you know, help, help, help. We don't want to sound like, you know, the boy crying wolf all the time. And you're so tired of hearing it that, yes, it's true. The wolf is here, but we really need your help. There is the WBAI buddy that's offered for $10 or more a month. That would help a lot. That would stabilize a lot of the planning. We have the Windows XP support disk where what's unique about it is two things. We have the unofficial Service Pack 4 that's about 900 megabytes through the end of August, all those updates. We have also a write-up where, very simple, you follow it, easy steps, where you can set your Windows XP machine to continue to get XP updates that are intended for special customers. We have that, by the way, available for $50 request a donation. We have a Windows 7 support disk. What's so unique about that? XPM, Windows 7 Professional, is no longer available for download. Oh, by the way, I made this announcement 2 weeks ago. On October the 31st of this year, which is Halloween Day, I don't know why Microsoft did that. It's sort of like trick or treat. Windows 7 Home Premium, Windows 7 Ultimate will no longer be available for sale at all, or available on any machine to be delivered. However, they will continue to support and allow manufacturers to sell machines with Windows 7 Professional. And the reason is obvious, okay? They made the announcement on Windows 10, and the path to 10 is with Windows 7, not 8.1. So if you're thinking of buying a new machine and you really need it, and, you know, our goal always is, you know, you don't wait for a sale. If you need something, you go buy it, because if you're running a business or you have something very important to do, just do it. It's to buy a machine with Windows 7 Professional, and you'll get the upgrade on it. I'm pretty sure that the migration will be easy. That's a requested donation of $50 for this Windows support. So you get the XPM support. And in addition to that, I called with the Windows 7 Retro, or the utilities, to enable you to use Windows 8.1 to make it look as much as possible like Windows 7. And by the way, that's how I operate 8.1. And that's how I answer most of the questions in 8.1. Now, I've been asked, well, why do you want to use 8.1? Well, there are a lot of nice things in 8.1. So, I, you know, just because there's a lot of criticism doesn't mean that it doesn't have redeeming values. One of the great things I like about 8.1 is that if you hit the Windows key, or hold down the Windows key, and you hit the print screen key, each time you do it, it's a snapshot, a real snapshot that goes into the picture folder of whatever's on the screen. So if you're watching a webinar, you're watching a movie, you know, typically with Windows 7 or XP, what you do is you do a shift print screen, it goes into the clipboard, then you take what's on the clipboard, you put in the paint, and then from paint, you then save it as a file, or you get a third-party program to do it. But this is so easy to use. So there are nice things about it. But most of the time, I'm using it really in Windows 7 desktop mode. And it works fine, these retro. So Windows 7 support disk, $50 requested donation. Then we have, if you want to say, listen, how about giving me both of them? It's available for $75, requested donation. And in each case, I throw in a bonus, same bonus in each one of them. And I have we did a show on Linux, and I've gotten so many requests on it. So I've included the write-up that I use as a guide. I also included the MP3 of the broadcast, a segment of it. I've also included the chart that I refer to that describes all the different parts of Linux. There's a whole lot of components. There's like 200-plus components, the names of it, what they do, and so on. This is the Personal Computer Show providing that kind of information. If you go to mainstream media, you're not going to get that kind of information.
No.
So the number to call is 212-209-2950. And if you were to call up that number, just tell them what you like to do. And oh, by the way, there actually is a fifth component I just realized that I didn't talk about.
I knew it.
You knew it, huh?
Yep.
Out of the goodness of your heart, out of the love for the Personal Computer Show, just make a straight donation of any amount of money.
Any amount?
Yeah. In other words, if all you have is $10, so you call up and you say, I pledge $10. If you have $100, pledge $100. If you got $1,000, pledge $1,000. If you have more than that, oh, we'll see you.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yes. No, seriously. You know, a cash donation would be very, very helpful. And
isn't it tax deductible?
Yes. It's, you know, WBAI is a 501c3. And we hope that we can... I don't know if it's a C3 or C4, okay? I think it's a C3. Churches are C4s. You know, we have this law that went into effect in New York State called the... Not-for-Profit Revitalization Act. It's the name of it sounds like revitalization. It's not. It's financial reporting to the state attorney general's office. That's what it is.
Okay.
You didn't realize that, and then a lot of corporations, of nonprofits, just realized that they got snookered.
No.
Yes, they did.
Why?
They did.
Because you mean because they were taking the money to themselves, for themselves?
No. The thing is now, you know, now WBAI is a listener-supported nonprofit, and it's hard enough to raise money to pay for expenses. But then what they're saying is, like, for the operation of the station, it costs more than $500,000. What they now want is BAI now has to hire a certified public accountant to file a report on our finances every year And it doesn't, and you know where it goes to? The state attorney general office. You say, now, wait a minute. State, and you say, if you say New York State Department of Finance, I could see, but attorney general office? Come on, give me a break, okay? You know?
Well, I guess they don't have anything else to do.
Don't get me into that. Hey, Stevie, seriously, yes. You know, with the with the people out there, I know that you get, you don't really screen calls. You really just want to find out who's calling and we ask, you know, where they're calling from.
No, I don't screen calls.
You don't. I know you don't. But one of the things that you do try to do is that when someone's calling from overseas, which kind of surprised, you know, we do get some overseas calls.
Yeah. Yeah. England.
England.
We had Puerto Rico a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. We get calls from all over. So if you're hearing this...
What about overseas? What about in the United States? We get people from Chicago, people from North Carolina.
Well, it turns out I have a piece of email from the Philippines.
Philippines?
Yeah. That's an almost 12-hour difference.
I didn't know that our antenna was that strong.
No, they could do it through, guess what? Internet streaming.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, we never announced what the internet streaming address was, right? WBAI.org.
Yeah. You can pick up the stream there. What about PCRadioshow.org?
Okay, that's another one. Too. All right. What else is there? They can listen to WBAI FM 99.5 New York.
Oh, you know where else you can get it that you may not have known about? If you go to iTunes Radio, you can pick up WBAI.
And if you happen to be on delay because, you know, of the time shift, if you go to PCRadioshow.org, Michael Horowitz, our webmaster, normally within a reasonable period of time will have the show up there that you can download, and it's in MP3 format. So we try to make the shows available. And you know what? I was very surprised. I was asking someone about their website, and I said, don't you put information out there? Oh, no, we charge for the information. We don't charge for the information. You know, you listen to the radio. We don't. And by the way, one of the things that I really hate, okay, and I know Stevie knows what I'm talking about, where you get someone says, look, we have a special stock that we want you to consider, but let me tell. And then they go through 20 minutes of describing everything except the name of the stock. You've gone through that, right? It drives you mad. We don't do that, okay? We don't play mind games. When we want to say something, we'll say it. If something is really terrible, we'll say it. And if something is pretty good, we'll say it. And we try to be as practical as possible because we don't get paid by any of the vendors. The vendors are not allowed to make any donations to the station. So when we reference something, we have to say it's under a certain price. We cannot quote prices. But this,
you mean like $29.99?
Yeah, or something like that. But there's one thing I can quote, though, okay? You can join the WBAI Buddy System for only $10 a month or more. By the way, I use the word "or more" now because
I recommend 25.
But have you noticed that all these 99-cent stores, and now they have a little thing underneath?
Yeah,
and
or
up,
more.
And
yeah.
Up and up.
Hey, you know, I saw in Harlem a 99% store.
Wait a minute, that's a good one. 99% store.
I loved it.
Okay, listen, I'm going to wrap up soon. This is WBAI FM 99.5.
Yeah.
And we have,
and this
really,
is the personal computer show.
And you know, Stevie, I know that you joined us back in the late 90s.
Early 90s.
And then you had a brief moment when you had to, you know, you went skiing. What happened when you, what did you do that day anyway?
I hurt myself.
No, you did more than hurt yourself.
Yeah, I hurt myself pretty bad.
You fractured it, right?
My tibia in 25 places.
25?
Uh-huh.
Wow, because it took you a long time to heal.
Yeah, it was like two, three weeks, right?
No, because it was actually, I think it was like 2 or 3 years, and then
it wasn't that long. It was about 6 months, seven.
Well, Stevie says, can I come back on the show? Of course. Hey, he's a brother of ours, okay? He suffers with us. When we get preempted, he's just as disappointed.
I get preempted, too.
Yeah, I know. And look, Stevie knows he can, you know, look at Stevie. He mirrors the same emotions we go through about preemptions. What do you mean? Another fundraising?
Yeah, with the car.
Another fundraising? Yeah. Yes, it's another fundraising.
Yay.
We need your support.
Yay.
WBAI FM 99.5. We have the Buddy for $10 or more a month. We have the Windows XP support for $50. We have the Windows 7 support for $50. And we have the 2-for-1, both of those DVDs, the Windows 7 and Windows XP support for $75. And
you know, we haven't been able to take listener phone calls because we're doing the raising.
Know, oh, yeah,
but they can still write to us
at
pcradioshow.org.
Oh, you know, I have to say that I just hope that our listeners are not disappointed that we have not been taking phone calls, because normally when we've tried taking phone calls, people are talking about their problems, and the station management says, look, we want you to raise money. So if we can raise the money, I hope to accomplish two things tonight. One is...
Two?
Yes, two things. One, number one is that the listeners will continue to support WBAI, and number two is that I get some happy news tomorrow from our management saying, okay, you're on the air next week. Oh, by the way, if you go to pcradioshow.org, that's our website, if we're back on the air, and I hope we are on the air, and I assume we're on the air, but don't make any assumptions, okay, you will find, we'll make that announcement on our website. In other words, it'll be pcradioshow.org. Our webmaster will put it up there. And if there's anything that you want us to talk about or to address, just send me a note, and if we're on and we're still in fundraising, we'll spend time on it, because I know that, by the way, the reason why I talk about Linux is that I was surprised by the number of people that keep asking me about, they didn't hear the show, they heard about it, where can they find the information on it, and that's the reason why we did talk about Linux, okay?
You love Linux.
Well, you know, I've been teaching one person to use Linux, because...
One?
Well, you know, one in particular, because when he goes on the World Wide Web, he kind of... He is easily fooled, okay? He's easily fooled into doing the wrong thing. And so what he does is that now, I recommended four different versions. Makulu, Rhino, Queasy, and Zorin.
You're going to have to explain all of that, but I don't know if you have time now.
Well, if we're on next week, I'll go into a greater depth. And what happens is that I just tell him, look, all you do is you can boot up and run off a flash drive. And when you run off the flash drive... If they, you know, these are phishing and scams, and if they want to play around with that, all they do is crash the flash drive, and all you do is just refresh the flash drive, and you're back in business again. By the way, do you run the Linux, Stevie?
No, but I forgot to tell you the great news, man. I just got $1 million from a Nigerian prince.
You mean you didn't get it from the princess?
No, the prince, they're going to send me like $1.8 million.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, yeah. For $1 million, the princess is coming over here to give me a date.
Yeah, you'd have to give her that much.
Okay, listen, we're going to wrap up a very shortly, so let me just recap, okay? We really need your support. By the way, we do greatly appreciate all those who have supported us. We thank all those who have supported us in the past, who wants to continue to support us at the present and also into the future. We have the Windows XP support disk for $50. We have the Windows 7 support disk for $50. We have the 2-for-1. In other words, both of them.
2-for-1.
In other words, it all combined onto a single DVD for $75. We have the Buddy system, where $10 or more a month for a year will greatly help WBAI. And if none of them are suitable to you, just what? Pick up the phone, 212-209-2950, and just donate what you can. And just think about this, okay? If you give up a pack of cigarettes a week...
Nobody's smoking anymore.
No, you know what? For those who are smoking, listening to the Personal Computer Show is healthier than smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Smoking, by the way, listening to the Personal Computer Show, I think, is more helpful than... taking a bottle of Thunderbird once a week.
Once.
By the way, I don't think people know what Thunderbird is anymore.
Yeah, it's a car. It's a really,
no,
really
no,
nice car.
No, drinking Thunderbird.
Oh, the movie. The movie.
No, Thunderbird.
Oh,
the drinking.
Thunderbolt. James.
By
Brown.
The way, you know, when I was in college, we always referred to Thunderbird because we got a bottle for.
Wasn't it illegal to drink alcohol when you were in college?
I was 18.
No, I'm talking about it was against the law.
No. New York State drinking was 18, so...
I'm talking about prohibition.
No, come on. Listen, look, I'm not like you that date back to the Civil War, okay?
Oh.
Hey, all kidding aside, give, donate, support WBAI. This is WBAI FM 99.5 New York, and thank you, Stevie. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Alfred. And
what about David?
Well, when you get him back on the air,
And
thank you, David. And
what
thank
about
you,
Michael?
Thank
Michael
you,
Horowitz.
Michael. And thank we thank everyone who supported us, who believe in us. Continue to support WBAI. Good night.
Dun, 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 dun. Hey, okay. Well, that concludes the Personal Computer Show here at WBAI, New York 99.5 FM. And it's October the 15th. You only have a few more days for the good weather, if you like that sort of thing. So I encourage you to get out there and enjoy it with your headphones with WBAI on. So in the meantime, we'll do, Roll Over Rover. Yes, we have the Joy of Resistance coming up now.
Joy of Resistance. We're sisters of the Joy of Resistance.
This Wednesday, October 15th at 9 to 11 p.m., Joy of Resistance will offer listeners, as a thank you for supporting WBAI, a premium that sold out the last time we offered it. It's Jennifer Lee's recently released Feminist Stories from Women's Liberation. Described as, quote, terrifically entertaining as well as informative by Psychology Today, it's won several film awards and recently delighted the audience at the Feminist Film Festival. It's nothing short of the story of the movement that changed the world for women, the Women's Liberation Movement, 1963-70. If you want to understand the ground you're standing on, this is the film to own, and for an amazingly low contribution amount. So tune in Wednesday, October 15th, 9 to 11 p.m. We'll play clips, talk to the director, and you'll learn a lot that you didn't know before. Coming this Friday, October 17th, week 4 of the 5-week Feminist Film Festival. It's an evening of transgressive, militant, direct action feminist films, performance, and discussion. We'll show Lizzie Borden's cult classic, Born in Flames. It's set in a futuristic New York City where a socialist revolution has left women out and a women's army has formed, led by black women to put women back in, featuring legendary Flo Kennedy. We'll see Left on Pearl, a documentary about the actual takeover and occupation of a building near Harvard by women's liberationists in the 1970s, plus music, photography, and discussion. It's all at 388 Atlantic Avenue, where doors open at 6 for shorts and features are at 7:30. You can find out the full schedule at WBAI.org. Oh, we'll also have a little popcorn.
Husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence. Joy of resistance. We have found this joy in resistance. For those who gain by keeping women down, we say your numbers up, don't underestimate our persistence. We're keeping organized together. We have come a long distance. Joy, joy of resistance. Sisters of the joy of resistance. No corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence.
Good evening. This is Fran Luck here with Lorena Ambrosio.
Good evening, everyone.
And we are the Joy of Resistance, and we are going to be on with you for the next 2 hours talking about a remarkable film and a remarkable movement that the film is about, and that's the Women's Liberation Movement that kind of got us off the ground. But right now, I just want to say I'm coming off the high of the third event of the Feminist Film Festival, which you've been hearing my parts for, I hope, day and night. And it's been the most marvelous, well, surprise. I didn't know if anyone was going to come to this, you know. It was a first. I'd never organized anything like this. The films had accumulated here from doing premiums, and there were other marvelous films I knew about. Anyway, it just took off, and for the last three events of the five event series, they were all on Friday nights down at 388 Atlantic Avenue.
At the Commons in Brooklyn.
Yeah. We've been packed.
Yes, it's been a full house each night, every week.
Every week, with just people coming and coming and coming. We've had not only films, we've had performances, we've had discussions, because,
yes,
right? The films have just evoked such response that we had to open up the floor and have people talk about them and the issues that brought up. We've had debates. We had beautiful performances last week of Mahina Movement.
Yes.
Yay, Lorena, who is a member of that marvelous group.
Thank you for having us, Fran. We had such a great time
that
night. And with two such crucial points of our history, those two films.
Yeah, I'll mention the films.
Yeah, Of Salt of the Earth and La Operación.
Right.
Which were both incredible films that are definitely not told too many times. So it was a great thing that BAI and Joy of Resistance put that together.
Yeah, we were very excited at the response. And we also had a wonderful movie called Chicana.
Yes, Chicana.
A lot of this was been supplied by Women Make Movies, as in our premium tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was last Friday. The Friday before, we had all films on reproductive rights, mm-hmm. justice, and what's the other word? Freedom.
Yes. Yeah.
That the various names that they're reproductive.
With a vengeance. Yeah. Right?
What'd you say?
With a vengeance, right?
Yeah, we showed With a Vengeance. What else did we show? I can't remember right now. There's so many films. And we also had music. And the week before that, our opening week, September 26th, we started out with one of our favorite films, which we thought would lay the basis for the Hull Festival. Mm-hmm. And that is the film we are offering
yes.
you tonight. That is the name of the film we're offering you tonight. The name is Feminist Stories from Women's Liberation.
Beautiful.
We started out our Feminist Film Festival with it because it was like putting a foundation under the festival, just revealing the ground on which we all walk, showing what happened over the last 4.5 decades or so that has so changed the lives of women all over the world, really, because it
Absolutely.
Kind of, you know, filtered out from the United States in many ways. Mm-hmm. Even though other countries also had their own versions, the United States movement really was the dynamic push that kind of put it all together all over the world. So we are thrilled to be offering you this premium, this over 1 hour long film that, well, let me just read you some of what is being said about this film. Feminist Stories is a poignant, funny, very powerful, and unapologetic. The film is a must-see. That's from the Huffington Post. Lee's film makes a huge leap in uncovering our buried history as women, a gift to girls and women and boys and men alike. That's from Sociology and Women's Studies in Santa Monica. You want to read one?
Yeah. A terrifically entertaining as well as informative, and that's by Paula Kaplan from Psychology Today. And then Lee does an excellent job of covering disagreements within the movement, and that's by Holly Dare from Ms. Magazine.
Okay, remembering and studying the women who broke the barriers before us is not just the right thing to do. We ignore their hard-won lessons at our own peril. For American women, our careless amnesia is plain poison, and Lee's film is a healthy portion of the antidote. Again, Huffington Post. So what's this film about? What's it about? It's about the many, many intertwining branches of the women's liberation movement, 1963 to 1967, which was the core period in which so many of the different branches that we're still kind of hanging off of, climbing on, what have you, came. And what happened during those 4.5 decades? Well, you're going to find out by listening to parts of the film, but just to give you an overview, if you go back to 1961, before the events that are shown in this film, even through the 70s, a woman could not own a credit card in her own name. She was not trusted to back it up. She had to have her husband's signature. Okay. Want ads for jobs were segregated. You had help wanted male, you had help wanted female. And of course, all the well-paying jobs were in which category? Guess which? You know, you had to wear skirts to work and to school. You could wear them. It wasn't illegal to wear them in your private life. That's but nice. Any official place you showed up, you had to wear a skirt.
Even in school, I heard that they would give you like a detention ticket if you weren't wearing a skirt and you would have to go nuts.
If you had any ambitions to do anything but be the wife and mother, you were seen as abdicating your role or possibly having hormonal deficiencies of some kind. I mean, it was so rigid in terms of what you could do, what you could aspire to, what you were allowed to even think. And yet, this has, for the most part, changed in 4.5 decades, which is a very, very short amount of time historically. We haven't won what we need to win. But we laid the groundwork. We laid the conceptual groundwork. We know that we're right. We know it's okay for women to want to use our minds, you know, to want have ambition, to want to be treated as equals, to want to be treated as the intelligent people that we are. Now, none of this fell out of the sky. It came about and is still happening because this is an unfolding movement as a result of enormous amount of agitation and consciousness raising and writing and movement building and campaigning of all sorts. And it's got a million stories. And Jennifer Lee is a woman who asked, why don't I know these stories? She's a younger woman than the women who were there doing that between 1963 and 1970. And she just wanted to know why her generation didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And indeed, this is like an erased history.
It is.
Right?
It completely is. Like, I started, the only thing I learned about in the very early days about feminism was just now in Gloria Steinem. Yeah. And that's all you usually hear. Just probably a lot of women I grew up with have that same background of it, that it was just mostly white women involved and not a lot of women who looked like me. And there's just a lot of lost history that Jennifer Lee's documentary covers so well. A lot of names that are lost and very important names, like yeah. Pauli Murray,
right?
You know, and just a lot of that honestly, it's a little like, it makes me angry almost that they yeah. would keep that history from us, because it talks a lot to where the movement is now and how it's stopping it from growing, because right. we don't know all of the history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lorena. I also feel angry at the denial yeah. of that history. So, we are offering this film that is